I'd like for you to open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. I love the prophets of Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, and of course, the prophet of all prophets, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord and our Savior, who is the perfect and the flawless model for all of the prophets. And in our study this morning from Jeremiah, we're going to look at what God had commissioned Jeremiah to be and to do, and notice a few things that are said in Jeremiah chapters 1 and 2. If we have time, I'm going to jump over to chapter 6, but we may not have time for that. This may start maybe a little series in Jeremiah coming up, but here we see this great man, Jeremiah. I know all of you, I'm assuming all of you have read him, heard of him, and are familiar to some degree. He lived about 6 centuries before Christ. And he was sometimes called the weeping prophet. I don't know if that's a good term of description, but he was a man who clearly had deep feelings, deep emotions for his God and for his relationship to the Lord, but also for the people of God, Israel. And it was during Jeremiah's lifetime when he had to witness one of the saddest events in all of Israel's history, and that was in Judah's history, I should say, and that was the destruction of the temple by Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian kingdom. The Babylonian army came and overran the city, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city, and the Book of Lamentations written by Jeremiah was based upon those events. But I want to start off in chapter 1, verses 1 and following, and then notice a few things. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, and the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. What is preaching? Preaching sometimes involves demolition, and then it involves construction. And that's what Jeremiah was commissioned to do. Jesus said, the psalmist says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Every one of us is a building. Every one of us is a building. Every one of us has built structures in our lives and our minds. We have ways of thinking, ways of believing, ways of having attitudes that are built into us through our various experiences, both good and bad. Jeremiah had a task to perform for Jehovah. It was made up of tearing down and then building up. Preaching God's word can have a devastating effect. It is intended to tear down as well as construct. The word of God is powerful. It's powerful. And it touches the hearts and the minds of people as nothing else does. Jeremiah says, Is not my word like as a fire? And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, that's chapter 23 and verse 29. What every congregation needs is an ongoing urban renewal program. God wants some things dismantled in our thinking and doing, and he wants things built up. Do not think that we have arrived. We have never arrived. We should always be thinking in terms of God working an urban renewal project in our lives individually and in our congregational life. You follow me? You hear what I'm saying? There is an urban renewal project going on all the time. God is wanting to tear down those things in us that he does not want there, and he wants to build up in us those things that he wants there. And I want you to think in terms of that as we proceed in the next few minutes. We may assume and take for granted some things in our lives that may not be true and may not be right. And then we are surprised when God exercises his right to do some urban renewal in our lives. What Jeremiah was going to do to the nation of Israel and to the nations around was he was going to announce what God had in mind, what God wanted, and it would shock them. I'll give you an example of one of the ways in which Jeremiah's message shocked the nation of Judah. Babylon was on the horizon. Nebuchadnezzar was coming. It was a feared nation. It was a powerful nation. It was a military nation. And they overran city after city after city. And many in Judah at that time were saying, "Don't worry, God's with us. He's for us. He'll protect us. He'll defeat Nebuchadnezzar. Don't you worry about a thing." And Jeremiah said, "No, that ain't the way it's going to be." Now, I kind of coined that phrase. I'm paraphrasing there. But that's what Jeremiah's message was. He says, what Nebuchadnezzar is doing, what Babylon is doing, is the will of God. And that shocked the nation. They didn't expect that. They were thinking God's going to rise up and defeat the Babylonians. And Jeremiah's message was, no, God has some urban renewal to do. He's going to tear down the city. He's going to take you into exile, and you're going to be there for 70 years, 70 years. So get used to it. Accept it. Don't fight against it. Don't rebel against it. Don't resist it. God wants you and will have you in captivity for 70 years, and there's a reason behind it. And his message was not popular. It upset some folks. His message was not popular at all, and he got persecuted, Jeremiah did. He got persecuted quite a bit. Complete and thorough destruction must precede construction. If God is going to build anything in our lives positive, he's going to have to tear down things in our lives that are negative. And they are things that maybe we don't even know are there. But with time, God can make them visible to us. We have a tendency as human beings, all of us, to proceed along the idea that, I've got my act in order, I've got my life in order, and I'm doing things right. But things may not be being done right by you, and maybe God wants to change things, and also in me as well. What kind of building are you? What kind of building am I trying to maintain in my life? Jeremiah was called for a difficult and unpleasant job, but necessary. Let's learn that preaching, and here's the idea of preaching that some people have. A mild-mannered man preaching a mild-mannered sermon to mild-mannered people telling everybody how to be more mild-mannered. That's the idea that some people have about preaching. Read Moses. Read Elijah, read Elisha, read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, read all of the minor prophets, read Jesus, and read the prophets, and I guarantee you, you will not see mild-mannered men preaching mild-mannered sermons to mild-mannered people telling everybody to be more mild-mannered. Real preaching is different. It's an urban renewal project. It's tearing down things that shouldn't be there and then replacing them with things that should be there. You know, the early church, it says in Acts chapter 17, they turned the world upside down. They turned it upside down. They didn't get that way by being mild-mannered. That doesn't mean they were being obnoxious or nasty or mean. It means that they stood for the truth, and they turned the world upside down by the teaching of the Word. Some preaching is to comfort the afflicted, and some preaching is to afflict the comfortable. Follow me? Okay. Number one, under demolition and building. Tear down pride and build in humility. Humility is still the first principle of the kingdom. It is the first fundamental brick, if you will say, or we could say that first stone that's built into our lives, there must be humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is the starting point. If you are not poor in spirit, meaning if you do not realize your total and utter and complete need for God, then God can't use you. God can use you when you realize how completely needy you really are. I and you are spiritually bankrupt without our Lord. Spiritually bankrupt. The balance in my spiritual account is zero. Zero. And when God sees that, and I see that, and I say, I have nowhere else to go but you, Lord, then God has someone he can work with. Is that not true with us? So build in humility. Realize our need of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, the word kingdom means the rule and the reign and the dominion of God. When God finds someone who realizes their spiritual bankruptcy, then he says, I can work with that person now. Because who are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to me. God's going to see someone who will only turn to them. If you still think you have spiritual dollars in your account, kind of, you know, realize that they aren't there. They're imaginary. Pride keeps up barriers. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace, our Lord Jesus, that is. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Pride prevents the fulfillment of all the things that God has for us. Number two, tear down sour dispositions and build in joy. Sour dispositions come from legalism. Now, legalism is not a word that's found in the Bible, but it's a concept, it's a principle found in the Bible. Let me describe to you what legalism produces. Unhappy, discontented, and burdensome religion. Freedom in Christ doesn't produce minimums, it deals in maximums. The legalist, you can always recognize the legalist because he says, tell me the bare minimum that I have to do to be right with God, and I'll do that. But nothing more than that. The gospel teaches us maximums. The gospel teaches us, Lord, how much do you want me to do? Can I do more? I will throw myself into things more. Legalism says it deals in minimums. I want to do the bare minimum that I have to do to be right with you. Maximums, the gospel says, there's no limit to what I'll do for you, Lord, in my life. Christianity isn't what's minimum I must do. It is a maximum that I can do and that I want to do. Number three, tear down excuse-filled livings and build in the highest standards. A building sometimes people hide behind is a watered-down standard in their living. You know, I think we would be surprised if somehow a time machine could take us back to the first century and we saw Christians in the first century and to see the zeal and devotion that they had. They just might make us feel very lukewarm. You know, we might say, look at those crazy extremists. Look at how devoted they are. They're giving their lives for Jesus. And we can sometimes complain over a minor inconvenience in our lives. So, tear down excuse-filled living and build in the highest standard. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, this idea of the tearing down, the rooting down, the pulling down, let me illustrate. illustrate what those words mean. Rooting out means from the bottom. This is going back to verse 10 of chapter 1. It means rooting out from the bottom, pulling down from the top, destroying, tearing it up, throwing it down, disposing of it, building it, meaning replacing it, and planting to decorate and beautify it. Turn to verses 18 and 19. 18 and 19 of chapter 1. And now, behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, and as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, and to its priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you. By the way, did you know that Jeremiah was commissioned by God, told by God, he could not marry? He was not to be a married man. Can you imagine? God told him he was not allowed to have a wife. And Jeremiah obeyed that command for the rest of his life. Now, he preached for decades. It is sometimes said he had no responses. That's not true. I can prove that from Ezekiel chapter 9, but that we don't have time for that this morning. He had responses to his preaching, but most of them were silent, people who didn't vocalize their agreement with him. Jeremiah's job was to preach the word of God, not his own opinion. The Word of God does its work in the hearts and the minds of people. And then tear down apathy and build in commitment and involvement. Apathy means without passion, without feeling, without suffering. There is a sleepiness that has invaded America's churches that we must avoid. We must be absolutely committed to the truth of God and His Word, no matter what the circumstances around us are. Tear down and then build up. And then I want to look in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Let me read verse 1, 2. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. All who ate of it became guilty. Evil came upon them, declares the Lord. What we see here is memory. God says, I have memories of you. I remember what you were like when you were first mine. What's he referring to? He's referring to that nation that he releases. He brings out of Egypt, out of the captivity of Egypt, and he protects them and guides them, directs their steps, provides for them, sustains them in the wilderness. He gives them all these blessings. They were a vulnerable, weak group, and he protected them. He says, I remember those days, but now things have changed. They're not the same in Jeremiah's day. They're not the same. He remembers when the kindness of your youth. He remembers the love of your espousals. He remembers when you went after me in the wilderness. He remembers when Israel was holiness to the Lord. He remembers when the first fruits of his increase. That is, what are we talking about here? We're talking about devotion. He remembers their devotion. He remembers how he loved them and how they loved him back. He remembers how they followed him. He remembers the holiness that they were devoted to. He remembers them at the best times. And he remembers when all that would try to hurt him would be defeated. God defended them. The memories he's talking about are this. He says, I remember and I compare. I remember what it was like back in those times, and now things are different. You're not the same today. And he is coming in with Babylon, with the Nebuchadnezzar army, and he's going to destroy the city, saying that I remember the way it used to be, but it's not that way anymore. Memories. And he wants them to be aware of the reasons why he's going to do what he does. You know, God doesn't do things without giving reasons for what he's going to do. So so Jeremiah, the prophet, this great prophet, is made to be a strong man, not because he was internally strong, but because he was completely devoted to and committed to God and his will. And then he spent his life preaching, and he was tearing down, and going back to chapter 1, he says, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And you know what? Going back to verses 4 and 5. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated. In other words, God already had a plan for Jeremiah before he was even born. Which means God cares for and notices the fetus in the womb. It's valuable to him. Before the fetus is even born, God already knows who that person is. What does that tell us about the subject of abortion? Very strong message concerning the value of the unborn child. So what have we looked at today? We've looked at sometimes demolition is needed before construction can take place. And there are things in our lives that we need to let God have his way in to tear down so that he can build up good things in us. And we need to be reminded of the fact that God remembers the way things were. Are you the same as you were when you first became a Christian? Are you the same as you were? Do you have today the same devotion and innocent love and purity and commitment to the Lord today that you did back in the days when you were baptized into Christ? If not, today's a day you can make that right. You can recommit yourself. You can ask God to forgive you and to help you to be renewed in your spiritual life. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the good news of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection. He that believes, believes what? Believes the gospel. He that believes and is baptized, immersed in water, shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. The gospel, the good news, will save you. Would you come now while we stand and sing?